The following is an Auburn Network production.
You are on the line, live on ESPN 106.7, ESPNAU.com, and the Radio Alabama app. To be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067. Bringing you the insight and passion surrounding Auburn athletics, the SEC, and more. This is what sports talk radio should be. Lock it in right here on Auburn Opelika's sports leader, ESPN 106.7. Now, live from Auburn, Alabama, with the guys who tell it like it is and hold nothing back. You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika Sports Leader. Happy Tuesday, everybody. Hope you're doing well on this November 4th, 2025. This is On the Line, the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. I'm your man, Jacob Goins. He is Christian Griffin. We appreciate you being with us. What is another gorgeous day in the Auburn Opelika area, and tons to get to on today's show. We're talking college basketball, talking college football, talking high school football, and a little bit of everything in between. We're happy that you're with us. We're happy to be with you. Christian, happy Tuesday, sir. How are you, brother?
Happy Tuesday. Almost said happy Wednesday. Happy Tuesday.
I wish it was Wednesday.
Closer to Friday. That's what we really need, man. We need to get back and call some playoff football.
We're really
excited for it. But no, happy Tuesday. Excited to be 1-0 on the hardwood. It took a little bit of a scare, and I know we're going to dive into that
barely
here in just a little bit. But yeah, a fantastic show we have set up for everybody. Once again here today, talking Auburn basketball, talking college basketball as there were games last night. More games coming up tonight. A couple of big blockbuster games that I've concluded that we're going to talk a lot about here in the first little bit. Before I get to sit down with head coach of Lee Scott Academy, Coach Buster Daniel, we get to recap the roller coaster of a win over Real Town last Friday night, 28-25. Get his thoughts on Lee Scott Academy hosting for the first time ever in the AHSAA, not only making the playoffs, but hosting at Judd Scott Field. The Warriors will take on Hale County. So we'll give you everything you need to know about the Lee Scott Warriors here coming up at 2:30 before we dive into the playoff brackets as a whole in the 3A and the 7A regions, or the brackets rather. And then at 3 o'clock, it's a lot of the coaching conversations that we talked about. We would get into it here today. Does anybody have it? Number ones, number twos, number threes? We're going to give you a whole bunch of names that have been thrown around for Auburn football, and should be a really, really fun show here today.
Yeah, so other than the conversation with Buster Daniel coming up at 2:30, phone lines are open today. If you want to be a part of the show, you can. We'd love to hear from you. 334-321-1390. Number again, 334-321-1390. Let us know what you're thinking about Auburn football, Auburn basketball, college football, college basketball, or anything else that's on your mind. I mean, hey, if you want to talk NFL trade deadline, that's going pretty crazy now. So if you're a Jets fan,
I already asked for a trade, so I'm waiting to see where my name falls.
You want out is what I heard.
I do, yeah. But not like officially. I'm just going to post a bunch of weird graphics and memes until somebody gets the memo.
Yeah, I texted former intern Michaela for people who are longtime listeners. They know who she is. She's a lifelong Jets fan, and she's going through it right now. So, you know, thoughts to her. She said that she was kind of surprised by the Sauce Gardner one. She said the Quinnen Williams one hurts. That one, that's a big trade. He's going to Dallas.
And what is it now? Over 2026 and 2027, it's five combined first-round picks or something like that?
Yeah, something like that. So basically the Jets have just decided, well, we're the worst team in the league, so let's trade any good talent we do have, and we'll just prepare for the future.
Yeah,
and
total,
start again is what the Jets are
doing. It is a total fire sale, and then you're sure that you're going to get some pretty good picks. There's some pretty good you would imagine they're not even necessarily going for players with Breece Hall. It's whoever's willing to trade their future.
Whatever you can get. So, yeah, if you want to talk about that or anything else, again, phone lines are open, 334-321-1390. You can also shoot us a text at any time during the On the Line or during the show in the On the Line text box at 334-784-1067. More football talk in the second hour of the show, but we start with what happened last night inside of Neville Arena, where Auburn men's basketball started the season, started a new era with Stephen Pearl as the head coach. And Tigers are 1-0. You're 1-0. It was scary. It was sketchy. And it got pretty dicey down the stretch. And yes, it took five extra minutes to secure it, but you did, and Auburn beats Bethune-Cookman in overtime, 95-90. We'll break down the stats and kind of go through the trends of this game as well. Stephen Pearl has some quotes already from last night and today about that Bethune-Cookman team, and also about the second game of the season coming up on Thursday night. We'll talk about that as well. But, Christian, your thoughts on Auburn's opener with Stephen Pearl at home in a maybe 50% full Neville Arena last night, 95-90 in overtime.
Yeah, it goes to show why Bethune-Cookman won the Southwestern Atlantic Conference, won the SWAC last year. Team, they got a lot of new guys, yes, but it's a very, very well-coached team, a very well-run program, and you see that just based off of the success that they had inside Neville Arena, and I don't think that it's fair to say that they had to battle Neville Arena anything overly crazy that you see in the other games, whether that's bigger non-conference games or in the SEC, but you still walked into a very tough place to play and found a way to put up 90 points, shooting 50% from the field. The biggest thing that when you look at this stat line, you look at the box score, goes back to a lot of what we had concerns about with this team initially, that there's not those two paint cloggers that can just swallow up every single rebound, whether that's defensively or offensively, and size down low, at least consistently, kind of turned its nasty head a little bit, as you saw 6'8", 6'6", 6'9", have a little bit of success for Bethune-Cookman.
Yeah, Stephen Pearl said today that he thinks Bethune-Cookman will be an NCAA tournament team.
I agree.
Thinks that means that they would win the SWAC more than likely. And look, they played really well. And look, when you hit 12 of 22 from downtown on the road, you're going to have a chance to beat anybody in college basketball, whether it's a ranked team or not, whether it's a conference game or not. That's legit, and Auburn's going to have to figure that out. I think some of it was Auburn's perimeter defense, but I also think some of it was just that team hitting shots and being hot on the road. And again, this was not a hostile environment. This was a half-empty gym. That's what it was, and they weren't worried about it, and I think they would have played just fine even if it was full. And we could talk about why that was in just a moment, because I hate to see that for Stephen Pearl's debut as the head coach of Auburn basketball, but good news is you put up 95 points. Bad news is you give up 90, and you start breaking down some of the team comparisons. Told you that Bethune-Cookman, the Wildcats shot 12 of 22 from downtown. They go 50% from the floor on the road, but they only hit 8 of 9 free throws, and 8 of 9 is pretty good in terms of your percentage. It's good for 89%. It's the fact that on the road you only shot 9 of them, compared to Auburn's 38.
Or compared to Keyshawn Hall shooting 16 of 18. That's one of the things that we've talked a lot about, is because of the transition game, because of this team's just pure athleticism, you see the pros and the cons. Last night I think there was a little bit of cons because it felt a little standstill-ish. It felt more of the ISO ball. It felt the let me go one-on-one. Okay, mine didn't work. Okay, now you try.
Felt very AAU-like.
Right. Yeah, my numbers aren't getting, you try now. You missed a three, okay. Okay, you try now. Auburn made 31 field goals but only had 14 assists. And that's something that you don't usually see from an Auburn team, at least not generally, just based off of the way that the team plays outside the perimeter, being able to have that one more, that extra pass to create your open guys to be open. 14 assists, I would very much expect that number to continue to jump. Keyshawn Murphy had four. Sebastian Williams-Adams, who we're going to talk a little bit more about in just a little bit, because I think he brings so much to this team. Tahad had five as well, and a couple other players had one. But going back to the free throw line, just because of the athleticism that this team has, they're going to shoot a lot of free throws. The biggest thing is you're going to have to be able to knock them down.
But a 31 free throw differential, I don't think I agree with that, just being quite honest with you. Like that, how many times did we talk last year about Auburn being on the wrong end of it like this and saying there's just, especially in SEC play, right, where you feel like there's a foul every other possession down the floor? 31 free throw differential?
29.
Yeah. 29? Wait. No. Total shots? I'm not crazy, right? Hold on.
They shot 9. We shot 38.
What did I say?
31.
I said 29. Yeah, 29 different free throw shot here.
Journalism majors, baby.
Okay, regardless. 29, 31, 30. I don't care. There's no way that that's truly the correct call there, right? I mean, we're not oblivious to say that one team, in terms of the total fouls, we're saying that Bethune-Cookman had 25 and Auburn only had 12. I don't know about all that. I think Auburn definitely earned it, and I agree with you that this team will shoot a lot of free throws, and that because of the way they play, they will get to the line, and it's good to see them knock most of them down. Second half was a lot better than the first half was in terms of shooting free throws, but you can't rely on this night in and night out, I guess is what my point is there, is you can't rely and bank on shooting 29 more free throws than your opponent.
Yeah, not necessarily saying that Auburn shooting 38 free throws is inaccurate, because I think they did try and go prove to be the more physical team when you saw Bethune-Cookman play a little bit more on the perimeter and try and go away from contact a little bit more. But yeah, I think the point you were getting to is you put up 95 points and it looks really nice because, man, you almost hit triple digits. But when a third of those come from the free throw line, while the other team only shoots 9 and still puts up 90 points, that's where a little bit of that scare comes in, because you know that it's not going to be that unbalanced every single night.
Phone lines are open if you want to be a part of the show. Let us know what you think about Auburn beating Bethune-Cookman last night, 95-90 in the season opener in overtime, 334-321-1390. The text box is open as well at 334-784-1067. Jeremy texts us and says, 10 years ago, Auburn does not beat that Bethune-Cookman team. Was Auburn great? No, but we weren't playing North Dakota, fought through it, and got a W. And yes, I agree with that, but
I like the mini shot in there as well.
Yeah, for those that know who the other team across the state played. But I don't know if I'm willing to go back and say and make the comparison of 10 years ago, right? I mean, that's, you're talking two different eras. I mean, the early years of Bruce Pearl versus what you have now. I agree. It wasn't pretty. Auburn didn't play great last night, but you did find a way to win, right? You absolutely did. Even though everybody on social media was already talking about Auburn in trouble and overtime, and I don't understand how you foul a shooter from half court on a heave at the end of regulation. That's bad. Okay, that's bad. I understand you're trying to make a play, trying to compete, trying to contest. Get out of the way. Get out of the way. I mean, how much different does it look if you win that game in regulation versus going to overtime? Hindsight or grand scheme of things, it's not that big of a difference. You still won. But don't foul the guy. Come on, man.
Yeah, if he makes the half court, he even goes to overtime, tip your cap, and move on.
Yeah, but don't – and give the dude credit. He stepped up there like the guy from Virginia and just knocked them all down.
Kyle Guy.
1, 2, 3.
Man, you brought back those memories already.
Now, Kyle Guy didn't even hit the rim on his. No. He just splashed them home. I don't know
if the net moved.
Yeah, he splashed those home in front of about 15 times the amount of fans. But I want to talk about that for a second, because I've seen people talk about that on social media. And look, let's be real. That was a bad showing last night by the fans, by the lack of attendance on a Monday night in the season opener and the debut of Stephen Pearl. And that place was, again, 50%. I wasn't there. I was running Auburn women's basketball. But from what I could see, there weren't a ton of people there. And I'm curious to why. I'm wondering why people didn't go. And I've talked with some folks, and we know the scheduling ideology that Auburn has, right? And what Bruce Pearl has tried to do during his time and what you expect Stephen to do now during his time. But I want to remind folks of the home games that Auburn has this year in non-conference play. Bethune-Cookman, Merrimack, Wofford, Jackson State, NC State, Queens. That's it. What you get at home.
And then conference play starts.
You've got those games in neutral site or on the road, right? Houston, Oregon, Michigan, Arizona, Chattanooga, Purdue. And then SEC play starts. The only good home game you have in non-conference play is NC State. And that's not Auburn's doing. That's the SEC-ACC challenge. You didn't have a choice on that one. Your home games are not good. They're not. Your non-conference home games for Auburn basketball are poor at best. And we understand why. Bruce Pearl was very vocal about it. Auburn has been very vocal about it. Because playing games like Michigan or Purdue or Arizona at home, you get no credit for it in the net, in KenPom, and all the rankings and standards that the NCAA Tournament Committee uses to rank you in the tournament, right? You get no credit for playing those games at home, but you do away from home. Whether it's neutral site, in a tournament, or on the road, you get much more credit for playing them away from your home gym than you do at home. Win or lose, doesn't matter. If you play it away from your home gym, you get more credit for it. And that's what Auburn has done. I understand it. I know why you do it. But it is a slap in the face to the fans. It is. But I still don't really understand why fans didn't go last night.
I think that's more, unfortunately, the recency bias of success of the, yeah, we're supposed to beat them. It's fine. We'll show up later.
Yeah, I mean, maybe so. I don't know. I wish there were more people for Stephen's debut, I guess is kind of how I feel about that.
Sure.
So, okay, let's take a break. We'll come back. We got two phone calls to get to, some texts to get to as well. We're talking Auburn basketball, but if you've got football thoughts or any other thoughts, we'd love to hear from you. 334-321-1390. We get to the phone lines coming up next.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin. If you want to be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067.
All right, we're back here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. Talk a little college basketball as Auburn opens up with Bethune-Cookman last night. Takes overtime to do it, but they do get the win 95-90. And we had a texter in the first segment take a little jab at Alabama, who played North Dakota last night. And a Bama fan responded in our On the Line text box at 334-784-1067. Says, to the previous texter, Alabama plays number 5 St. John's on the road for the next game. Who's Auburn's next opponent?
Merrimack, baby.
Yeah. You ever know about Merrimack?
What you know about the Warriors?
What you know about the MC Warriors?
And did I have to click on their logo to see their mascot? No.
Yeah, maybe. Does Auburn have a 98% chance to win according to ESPN's matchup predictor? Maybe.
It's okay. After that, it's Wofford.
All jokes aside, Alabama's schedule is ridiculous. It is insane. And good for them. And again, most of their games are away from Tuscaloosa because they do the exact same thing that other big teams are doing, which is scheduling big-name opponents away from your home gym.
Yeah,
because
it gives you the two thumbs up, and if you lose, it doesn't credit you or doesn't hurt you.
Correct.
As you look at KenPom, because we've talked about that, where it's like you there's been teams that have gone on the road and lost a close game, and they've risen in like the KenPom overall
rankings. Yeah, you get credit because it's considered a good loss.
Yeah, it's a quality loss.
Oh, you know how I feel about that. God, basketball season really is back. We're already talking quality losses. Oh, God. Okay, we got some phone calls to get to. Let's do it now. 334-321-1390. We begin with John. You're on the line. What's going on, man?
Hey, guys. Yeah, I didn't know where Hale County was before this week, and before I had a flight out of Boston one time and saw the basketball team. I saw that gymnastics team that the school out of Massachusetts were playing Thursday.
Merrimack,
yeah. I saw their gymnastics team on a flight, and I was like, oh, y'all going to nationals in whatever division it is? They're like, we're D1. I'm like, oh, okay. Shocked me.
Man.
Hey, have two quick basketball questions for you.
Sure.
One, I think Keyshawn Hall had like 5 made field goals and 28 points last night.
Yeah.
If I gave you a two-parter here, over, under 18 points a game for him for the season, and second, Pettiford had 11 but was our fifth leading scorer, where does Pettiford finish the season in points with this team?
Both really good questions. I think for Keyshawn Hall, 18.5 points seems like a little much for me on average, just because I do think there are enough guys on this team where it could be different kind of every other night, especially with the position that he plays. Tahat Pettiford will and needs to be a top 3 scorer on this team, John, if they want to be successful.
I agree. I think Hall has an ability to get to the line that, I mean, on last year's team, who's going to drive and get you a bucket? Because a lot of the guards were just perimeter spot-up shooters.
Yeah.
And I feel like Baker Mazzara wasn't somebody who enjoyed the contact at the rim as much as Hall does. So, we'll see. I was really five made field goals and 28 points. I can't remember the last Auburn player that was their game.
Yeah, 16 of 18 from the free throw line. And again, he was the Big 12 leading scorer last year and didn't rely on the free throw line. But I mean, if he's a guy that can give you 7 to 10 points a night from the free throw line, then you definitely like your chances in every contest.
Agreed. Thank you, guys.
Yeah, appreciate the call, John. 334-321-1390. Let's get to Dan, who's been holding on for a little bit. What's going on, Dan? How are you on this Tuesday?
Not much. I was at the game. It was a lot more people than 50%. I'd say it's probably closer to 75%. But I guess we're just so used to it always being, you know, mm-hmm. completely full and people standing all around the edges. You know, so for, yeah, a typical game, yeah, it was a little bit down. But I wonder if having the football game on the weekend, you know, might have burnt some folks out. And, you know, getting back on Monday might have been a little harder. But
yeah,
who knows?
It's good to hear it was 75%. I think a Monday night too, right? I mean, I get it. I just felt like for the season opener, for Stevens' debut, I know Bethune-Cookman, probably not a ton of people knew a lot about him. Hopefully you do now. I guess I was expecting more. I guess is where I'm going with that.
Yeah. But I will say this, you know, I've watched us play a lot of, you know, opening quote unquote chump games and stuff.
Sure.
That is a good team. I mean, Bethune-Cookman, I mean, they were making clutch shots and hard shots and you know, yeah, we should have defended better, but that team they were picking win their division this year.
Yeah.
And they're a veteran team and they played well. So I've never seen a game really. I can't say I've never seen a game, but it's not that many games where you watch it and like literally it's maybe a 4-point advantage is the max either way. And it literally, I don't know how many times we changed, went from they're up and then we're up and then they're up and we're up. I mean, it was just a very close game. So if you like basketball, I mean, it was intense the whole game, but they were pretty good. But the thing with Keyshawn Hall, that guy can score as many points as we want to give him the ball. I mean, he is a big time player. He's got a great 3-point shot and he can drive well, but man, he can get the 3-point play almost every single time.
Yeah.
He just knows how to draw the contact and he's really strong and finishes a lot, you know? So
which will be important come SEC play. I mean, they in the SEC, they're going to foul him so hard he probably can't get the and-one opportunity, but that dude has a chance to shoot a bunch of free throws come conference play.
Yeah, and the one guy that I was really happy about that I didn't know how good he was because the first few games, he's been injured, Keyshawn Murphy, man, he played a great game. He was 8 for 9. He hit his open three, and he just drained it. And I mean, then he had, you know, just eight rebounds, and he didn't play. I don't know how many minutes he played, but it didn't seem like, I mean, he was, I think they were trying to limit his minutes still, but he's got a really strong low post game. You know, you get the ball down to him and he's going to finish a lot. So I was really happy about that. And then there was literally a SportsCenter highlight with Elijah Freeman where he got a steal and then he did like a crossover, like a Euro step, yeah, two-handed dunk.
Yeah.
And that's probably one of the best dunks I've seen since Chris Porter.
Yeah, especially for his size too. It was pretty impressive. Yeah,
yeah. I'm sure it's on some of the highlights, but I was like, holy cow, that was crazy. You know, but
yeah, it was.
You can tell the team is young. You can tell that they, you know, we're not totally gelling, and there's, you know, a lot of things that you know, need to be worked on. But you can see like it's in pieces of serious talent on the team. You know, it's just having that consistency. You know.
Yeah, for sure. Dan, we appreciate the call, brother. We're up against a break. Thanks, man. Always appreciate you calling in, Dan, and great takes on the game last night. And good to hear. It was, I guess, a little bit more full than I was giving it credit for. But
I guess we saw a lot of the pictures with starting lineups being announced and played
but
a factor.
To his points, I mean, you've got talent on this team.
You do, yeah.
And you didn't even see it all.
No.
Mecco Purim didn't even play last night. So.
Again, Keyshawn Murphy, 20 points, 17 rebounds, had 5 defensive rebounds, 8 total rebounds, 4 assists in there as well. It's somebody that you ironically say is undersized for his position, but you saw the way that Auburn used Jani Broom to pass out of the low block. Keyshawn Murphy could be one of those guys as well.
More basketball talk as we go, but when we come back, Christian sits down with Lee Scott's head football coach Buster Daniel ahead of their first round playoff matchup on Friday.
You're 30 minutes into On the Line on ESPN 106.7. Now back to the studio with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin.
30 minutes into the Tuesday edition of On the Line. I'm Christian Griffin, and we get to continue our Lee Scott Academy football segments, and we are joined, as we are every single week, by the head coach of the Lee Scott Warriors, Coach Buster Daniel. Coach, appreciate your time once again, and my goodness, what a finish on Friday night.
Oh, absolutely. We enjoyed doing this, and it was a great game Friday night, you know, great atmosphere, playoff-type atmosphere,
yeah.
And, you know, our guys showed up, and took a little while to get going because we was playing an outstanding football team, and but you know, we hung in there, kept fighting, kept plugging away, and ended up coming out with a victory. So I was proud of my guys.
A 28-25 win over Realtown in a back and forth roller coaster of a game. What impressed you the most about the team and how they responded and found a way to close it out?
Well, you know, it's kind of like we say, they responded. You know, we got down, you know, 13-0, and it was, you know, 19-7, and at any time in the game, early first half, the guys could have folded 10. I mean, they could have. The game really didn't mean anything, other than being bragging rights and a win or a loss. But they kept fighting back. We took the lead at halftime and came out the second half and played extremely well. You know, we were playing a really, really good football team, and which I told them after the game that you may not see a better team in the 3A level that you played that night as a 2A. But really, really good football team. I was proud of our guys. They never quit. They kept fighting the whole night and found a way to win.
You talked all season long about the toughness and the resilience that this group continues to show week in and week out. Both of those things showed face once again in that big win last Friday night over Realtown. How proud of you are of the way your team handled the adversity and stayed composed down the stretch, even when things didn't necessarily go your way or when things got a little bit emotional there in that second half?
Yeah, like, again, I'm proud of them. You know, these kids, they continue to show up, you know, week in and week out. They show up on Friday night and play their back ends off, you know. And, you know, again, they at any time during that game, the guys could have quit. You know, everything didn't go our way at certain times with different reasons. And faced adversity, and we just kept clawing and hanging in there and playing as hard as we could play. And, you know, the result ended up like we wanted it to. Our guys deserved to win the game. Not saying Real Town didn't, but we worked and we clawed and we fought and we did everything the right way to be able to win the football game.
One guy that really stood out on both sides of the football on Friday was Barrett Cook, somebody that had a really big week one at home against Alabama Christian Academy. Had a little bit of a quieter middle of the stretch, but these last two games has been somebody that has stepped up really big, catching footballs out of the tight end spot, multiple different places that you can put him on the football field, also the outside linebacker spot, where he was able to get that game-sealing interception. What can you say about the growth that he has had and the impact that he's having on both sides of the football?
Well, we always knew that it was in Barrett. You know, his dad coaches here with us, and we talk just about every day about Barrett, that he has all the potential in the world in all three sports. And the last couple of games in our season, he has really stepped up, especially Friday night. You know, he had the first big catch and run to get us on the scoreboard. You know, he had four, five, six other catches. Don't know exactly how many off the top of my head, but and then had the big game stealing interception down, you know, inside the red zone, which was huge for us. But I tell you what was more important to me than anything was how he punted during the game.
Yeah.
He flipped the field for us three or four times. You know, and he had the punt that we downed inside the two that really set up another score. So, you know, I tell our kids all the time that we should win the special teams part of the game because we work on it so hard. And Barry was just outstanding punt the other night. And, again, got us out of holes and pinned them back one time. And, like I said, it led to a score for us.
That win over Real Town caps off an 8-2 regular season, your first time being able to say that in the AHSAA era. When you take a step back and you kind of look at this group as a whole and what all they accomplished through the 10 weeks, what stands out to you about their body of work?
Well, you know, again, we're playing a tough league. Our region is good for the most part. I mean, you know, there are teams that are down a little bit because they lost a bunch of seniors or had a few injuries. But, I mean, week in and week out, we play teams that have better athletes than us. I say it to anybody, it doesn't matter. And our guys have to do things the right way, and we have to perform every night to have a chance to win. And our guys have done that 8 out of 10 times this year. You know, do I think we could have won one more? Absolutely. But that's, you know, that's a coach talking. But our guys showed up, you know, each and every week and play their tails off. And like I said, we have to do things the right way to have a chance to win. And our guys have done that throughout the season.
Christian Griffin here, sitting down with head coach of the Lee Scott Academy Warriors, Buster Daniel, here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. And, Coach, you now get to turn your page to the postseason, not only playing in the playoffs, but hosting for the first time in AHSAA history for the Lee Scott Warriors, where you take on Hale County. What's been the focus in practice this week as you continue to work your way closer to a big-time Friday night matchup?
Well, you know, we only had one day, but the focus is, you know, hey, it's a different season now. It's the third season, so to speak. We're going to play first half of the season, second half of the season, then we go to playoffs. And, you know, we express to our guys that if you don't play well on Friday night now, you sit at home. It's one and done. So we had to have the ultimate focus every day. We got to do things the right way. And, you know, we talked about yesterday. There's a couple of coaches on our staff that have been through playoffs, have been all the way to the top, you know, have been to the biggest game. And some of them have won those big games. And so we got a lot of experience. We talked about how much fun it is in the playoffs and AHSAA. They're about to experience that. So they got to understand how much fun they're about to have. And that's kind of the just talk, you know, before practice, after practice, all through practice about, you know, how much fun they're about to have and what it means to be in the playoffs. And, you know, these guys made history as far as mm-hmm. Lee Scott Academy, because it's our first time in the playoffs in the AHSAA. We're hosting a playoff game. I mean, so they've done so much this year for this school and for our program. And, you know, I couldn't be more proud of a bunch of kids.
When you turn on the film, what stands out about this Hale County team? What kind of team should Warrior fans expect to see on Friday night?
Well, they're not overly big. You know, we play one of the most physical teams in the state as far as 2A, 3A on Friday night. This team is they've got some speed. They can get outside on you if you don't contain them. They're, like I said, they're not real big. They got some young kids playing, but they can run. So we got to contain them. Got to tackle really well, similar to what we did on Friday night. We won't see that caliber of team, but still. They're a good football team. They're in the playoffs. Everybody in the playoffs are good. So we just have to get that across to our kids that we've got to play well. We got to do things the right way. We got to take care of the football. We got to tackle and just do things the right way to have success on Friday.
And, Coach, how do you – you mentioned it just a little bit ago about some of the coaches that have played in these playoff games or coached in these playoff games. How much do you rely on them to make sure that your team stays even keel, right? We've talked a lot earlier in the season about the emotions and how sometimes when you're not playing free, you aren't able to play to the best of your ability. How much do you rely on your staff and the adjustments that are made, maybe drive after drive or quarter after quarter, to make sure that these kids get the best they can get?
No, I'm telling you, I'll tell anybody we've got the best small staff around, in my opinion. Again, a lot of experience. You know, with Coach Wade, you know, been coaching over 40 years. Coach Drakeford, almost 40 years. I've got 30 in myself. Coach Speakman has joined us this year. You know, been with us a long time at Opelika. Been to the biggest games. Coached at the top level in the state. All these guys have a great football mind. We got young coaches that are just outstanding coaches and going to be head coaches one day if they want to be. So, yeah, I mean, it's on Friday night. It's on the headphones talking to each other, suggesting this, talking about we need to call timeout here. It's just a huge collaboration of good minds for football, talking about the game, strategizing the game. And, you know, we do it all together. I don't take credit for all this stuff. I got a great staff. I listen to them. And we do it together as a team.
Coach Buster Daniel here with us on the phone lines on the Tuesday edition of On the Line. Before we let you go, this program, as we've mentioned, has continued to take step after step again with their last year, or with last year being the first in the AHSAA. Having that heartbreak at the end of the season, you now make your way into the playoffs without any sort of drama here this season. What would it mean to you, your staff, the senior class, not only to host, but to win that first AHSAA playoff win in school history?
Oh, it'd be huge. It'd be huge for the school, but for our program and these seniors. I mean, they have led us all season. You know, they were, most of them were a part of that, what we went through last year and the disappointment. And, you know, they worked all during spring and they worked all summer in the fall camp and each and every week to get to this stage we're in now. And so it would just top it off to win that first game and even go even further. But we just got to realize, man, that we don't have a whole lot of time left together. So we got to enjoy what time we have, enjoy each other, work together, and just see how far we can go. I mean, nobody knows what's going to happen in the future. But we just got to treat every moment like it may be our last together and just fight, you know, together as a team and just see how far we can go.
Your final pitch, Coach, for anybody listening, any of the Lee Scott fans, or anybody that doesn't have anything to do on Friday night, why should they be at Judd Scott Field here in just a couple of days?
Well, like you said, these kids have done something special. They deserve to be supported. We just need to fill the stands up, fill the bank up, come out and support these young men, our cheerleaders, our band. I mean, this is a special time at Lee Scott. It's special for anywhere because, you know, everybody don't get this chance to play in the playoffs. We have a chance. We need to be supported, and we need to have a huge crowd on Friday night.
Coach Buster Daniel, head coach of the Lee Scott Academy Warriors, joining us here on the phone lines. We appreciate your time, as always. No, I'll see you here in just a couple of days. But, man, we're looking forward to getting back to Judd Scott Field on a Friday night. Good luck, and go Warriors.
Sounds good. Thanks a lot, and go Warriors.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin, online at ESPNAU.com and on the Radio Alabama app.
Wrapping up hour number one here on ESPN 106.7. Thanks to Buster Daniel, head coach of Lee Scott Academy football, sitting down to talk with Christian today as the Warriors get ready for the start of the 3A playoffs as high school football playoffs across the state. Christian, get started this Friday. And, man, you start looking around the different brackets and the different levels and some of the matchups that we have. I mean, it's one of the best times of the year. And we always talk about, right, there's nothing like a Friday night, but then you start to throw in the playoffs, and it's just a different beast, man. I know Lee Scott's got Hale County coming in. You guys just got done talking a little bit about that, and you get to host at Judd Scott Field, so I know that's exciting.
It is, yeah. It's awesome to be able to hear it from him and talking with a bunch of the players as well, just about – what Lee Scott continues to do with making history and rewriting their own history again in year two of the AHSAA, not only playing in the playoffs, but hosting in the playoffs. It means a lot to everybody over there on Academy Drive. And yeah, looking at the 3A playoffs right now, Lee Scott Academy in the south side on the bottom left side of the bracket where they take on Hale County again. So they'll make about a 2.5-3 hour drive down to Auburn, Alabama. And how cool is it that we've talked about it all season long? Just our goal is to go 2-0 every single Friday with Lee Scott Academy and Auburn High. And now both teams get to host at home in the first round.
Yeah, I mean, we've mentioned this too. Both teams in very similar situations. The 2 seed out of their region, meaning you get to host the first round, but you're guaranteed to travel in the second round. And for you, you have one opponent that's closer in the second round, one that's further away. Auburn High, it don't matter. If we win, we're traveling a long way. Average distance would be 3.5 hours, either 3 hours and 20 minutes south or 3 hours and 45 minutes north. So,
heck yeah.
Got to worry about round one, though. And we're going to talk with Coach Etheridge on Thursday and get a better idea. But Auburn is hosting Vestavia Hills, and that is a rematch from week two of the season after Auburn took down Booker, the Tornadoes out of Florida in game one of the season. Tigers went on the road to take on Vestavia Hills on a Thursday night up in Birmingham, and it just did not go well. I mean, just got punched in the mouth, punched in the face, punched in the knee, and you were down 21-0 before you could blink, and that was pretty much it. And Vestavia just kind of, you know, kind of caught you with your pants around your ankles. And so now it's time to bounce back from that. And I think Auburn's going to be ready to go on both sides of the football defensively. A lot of confusion and a lot of uncertainty in that second game. But this one, they will be ready to go. And then offensively, it's all about being able to run the football and getting your playmakers out in space. And I think Auburn's going to be able to do that. And so a rematch, it's also considered the game of the week across high school football for the playoffs. So, Auburn hosting Vestavia Hills in the 7A playoffs. And then, as I said, if the Tigers win, if you go south to Daphne or you go north to Sparkman. So, Mobile or Huntsville.
And you get to see a lot of the states.
Yeah, I get to make another long road trip with our friend Jack Hutton. Him and I have been on quite a few, but, that'll be a lot, but we worry about round two after we win round one. But yeah, Auburn hosting Vestavia Hills on Friday.
Yeah, on our side of things, again, Lee Scott hosting Hale County. They'll go on the road regardless to take on, if they win round one, either Montgomery Academy or Flemington. So it's about an hour drive or a 2 hour and 45 minute drive. And Flemington, for those that don't know, you could take off your shoe and throw it as far as you could and you would hit the Florida State line.
So, yep.
About as far south down there in that side of Alabama as you could get. But both of those teams, really, really talented. Hale County, again, you heard Coach Buster Daniel talk a little bit about it. It's going to be a little bit of a smaller team, but they use that to their advantage whenever they can. Not necessarily a team that is going to try and push around the line of scrimmage and get 4 yards running between the tackles. Instead, it's more of that spread offense, get the guys out in space, a lot of screens, a lot of eye candy, which is very similar to what Lee Scott does from the standpoint of bringing guys in motion behind the line of scrimmage. You see a little reverses here and there, a couple trick plays that are up the sleeves of the Lee Scott Warriors. You saw one last Friday night at Realtown. It was the first play of the fourth quarter, which was absolutely incredible. You were feeding Brooke Zachary all night long. You throw it to him on a pitch, and he drops back to throw a touchdown pass, which is it was an absolutely awesome moment on the Lee Scott Sports Network. And so both of these teams play a relatively similar style of ball, except I believe that Lee Scott has the stronger running back duo and the stronger offensive line. And so we'll see if that can become a big time factor in round one.
At least on paper, looks like some pretty intriguing 3A matchups, especially on the left side of your guys'
The left
bracket side
is very tough.
And for anybody that wants to take a look at the playoff brackets, you can do so by going to our station website, ESPNAU.com. Click on sports at the top, and that'll take you to our sports page. And then you can click on playoff brackets up there. So ESPNAU.com, sports, and then playoff brackets. And for all the teams that we cover in our Radio Alabama network, Network. We have all the playoff brackets up there for you. So I highly recommend you go and check that out. I think you can print those off. I'm not exactly sure. But they're on there if you want to go take a look at them, especially that 3A bracket because there's a million teams in there. But, I mean, Thorsby-Randolph County looks good. Of course, Lee Scott-Hale County, Montgomery-Flomaton, Trinity, T.R. Miller, Glenwood, Thomasville, you and the Gators on the same side of the bracket, unfortunately, Christian. So
all four of our teams are on the left side of the bracket in our region.
Is that how it works in 3A?
I believe so, because you're just paired up with
the
one
region.
Plays the four, the two plays the three, and so all four of those teams. Yeah, you're looking at it. Southside Selma was the one seed in Region 1. Dadeville, obviously, the four seed. That's going to be a fascinating matchup because Southside Selma is really, really good on the offensive side of the football. They know how to put up points and are a very, very athletic team. Dadeville, for those that made the trip or that listened on the Lee Scott Sports Network, saw that a team that finished 3-3 in the region had a little bit more talent than I think everybody gave them credit for. It's a very good offense, a really, really good quarterback. They run a very good scheme up there, so that'll be a lot of fun to watch. Glenwood, as we mentioned, hosting Thomasville. They were the one seed in Region 3, or Region 4, rather. Lee Scott the two, and then Randolph County in the very bottom side of things hosting going on the road to take on Thorsby, Randolph County being that three seed.
Yeah, so when you look at these brackets, the team on the top is the one that hosts. And on the ones on our website, that's got the little H next to it, so they, of course, are hosting. But just to keep that in mind, 7A bracket is not as big, not as daunting, not as crazy. There's just not as many regions in 7A, so not as many teams make the postseason. We also play one less round.
I was
going to
say, y'all
7A.
Basically the third, or in between the third and fourth round, in between the semis and state championships, a bye week, right?
Yeah, the week of Thanksgiving. We don't play that Friday after Thanksgiving. You guys
which would.
Which
would be everybody else's semi games.
Yeah. And so, again, Auburn hosting Vestavia Hills Friday night over at Duck Sanford Stadium. I expect that place to be packed. I think Vestavia fans are going to travel. We'll have the full radio broadcast for you on the Auburn High Sports Network on Wings 94.3. But Auburn taking on Vestavia. You've got Opelika heading up to Hewitt-Trussville to take on the Huskies up there. Florence and Baker is a good game. But on the other side of the bracket, Auburn-Opelika's on the right. It's the left side that's daunting, dude. Carver goes to Thompson. Austin takes on Mary Montgomery. Fairhope and James Clemens. And how about Hoover heading to Central Phoenix City? Congratulations, Red Devils. You won the region. Here comes the Hoover Bucks.
Here comes the hottest team in Alabama.
And here they come. That game is going to be incredible. So lots of good high school football coverage in our family of stations. He'll have Lee Scott on AU 100.3 against Hale County on Friday. I'll have Auburn High versus Vestavia Hills on Wings 94.3. We'll tell you more about it on Thursday and Friday, but hour number one is in the books. Stick around. We're talking coaching search coming up in hour number two.
The following is an Auburn Network production.
You are on the line, live on ESPN 106.7, ESPNAU.com, and the Radio Alabama app. To be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067. Bringing you the insight and passion surrounding Auburn athletics, the SEC, and more. This is what sports talk radio should be. Lock it in right here on Auburn Opelika's sports leader, ESPN 106.7. Now, live from Auburn, Alabama, with the guys who tell it like it is and hold nothing back. You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika Sports Leader. Happy Tuesday, everybody. Hope you're doing well as we get underway here in hour number two during On the Line on ESPN 106.7. It is the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. I'm your man, Jacob Goins. He is Christian Griffin. We appreciate you being with us on this Tuesday afternoon as we're an hour into the show, which means we got a whole another hour to go, and we're glad that you're with us however you're tuned in, whether it's on the radio, on the website, or on that Radio Alabama app. However you tune in each and every day, or if you're listening later on in the podcast, we appreciate you as well supporting the show. Hour number one was jam-packed. We had all sorts of stuff to go through. Talk some Auburn basketball as Stephen Pearl and the boys got it done last night. Took overtime, but that's okay. You're 1-0, and the new Pearl era is underway as the Tigers take down Bethune-Cookman 95-90. Talked about that, what this team is going to be. Didn't quite get to some of the other results in college basketball, but maybe if we have some time, we can do that here in hour number two. Christian also sat down with Lee Scott Academy's head football coach Buster Daniel as they previewed the matchup coming up on Friday as Lee Scott hosts Hale County in round one of the 3A Alabama High School football state playoffs. And so that was in there. We also previewed some of those playoff brackets as well for 3A and 7A and beyond. So all of that was in hour number one. If you missed it, you can listen back to the podcast version of the show on our station website at ESPN.com.
And here in hour number two, we get to start it off with a conversation that we can say is part one of a 37-part series, it feels like, because the coaching search is underway. We have a whole bunch of names that have been either thrown in a conversation that are the dream candidates for the Auburn head coaching job, and we get to talk about that. Have a couple lines in there as well. Not sure how those even get created, to be completely honest with you, but odds to be the next Auburn football coach. But we have a bunch of names. We have our list as well. I have a hard top five. Jacob has a couple of bullet points that we'll be able to talk about and see what he decides to go with. We also get to talk about the college football playoff rankings that come out tonight. How different will things look from the AP poll, and what will we learn about these first true sets of rankings on who's going to be hosting, who's getting the first round bye, how many of those teams will stay, and how many teams still feel like they have a chance to make the college football playoff. All of that coming up here in hour number two.
Yep, so we got a lot to get to. Phone lines are open for the entire hour. If you want to be a part of the show, we'd love to hear from you. 334-321-1390. That number again, 334-321-1390. I have a feeling we're going to get some calls in this second hour because we do want to hear from you on who your choice is to be the next head coach of Auburn football. Give us a call. Who's your dream pick, who's your reality pick, and maybe who's a dark horse in your list as well for the next head coach
who's
of
having
Auburn football.
Fun, who's the dark horse to
win the Heisman? 334-321-1390 if you want to call in, or if you just want to shoot us some names in the on-the-line text box, that's cool too. Maybe the popular picks, again, maybe some of those not-so-popular picks, and if you could pick anybody, who would it be and why? You could call us or you could shoot us a text at 334-784-1067, and we get to the phone lines to start hour number two. Lonnie down in Lotipoca, what's going on, my man? How are you feeling on this Tuesday?
What's up? I wanted to talk about the basketball game last night.
Sure.
I hope this interior defense, I hope this is not a sign of things to come, because they're going to have some problems throughout the year if they don't get that shored up. That was pretty bad down low. I mean, what did you guys think?
Yeah, I mean, Bethune-Cookman had 44 points in the paint. Auburn had 48. Of course, you have 44 points inside, and then you get 12 threes from the outside. I mean, they were pretty much doing whatever they wanted to last night, Lonnie. And, look, I think Auburn is going to have size to compete, but you are missing, at least for now, that one big bruiser, even the two bruisers that you had last year. And so Auburn's going to have to find different ways to make it happen. And what that means to me, Lonnie, is communication, right? Communication on the inside and switching when you need to, holding your ground, and being able to defend without fouling, which Auburn clearly did a good job of last night. But, yeah, you can't give up that many points in the paint and outside of it and expect to win many games.
Well, it's early in the year, so, hopefully we get that worked out. I wanted to bring up something else that I don't know if anybody has mentioned it, but I'm not going to mention her by name, but it won't take a lot to figure out who it was. But about Auburn fans needing to find Jesus, this was one of Freeze's, let's just say, relatives that said that.
Yeah.
In regards to Auburn fans, did you guys see that?
I did. I was doom scrolling before bed last night, and that did pop up on my page. Yes.
How sanctimonious do you have to be to say something like that when you're going to get a parting gift of God knows how many millions of dollars? I mean, that's pretty low class there, in my opinion. I don't want to turn the show into that, but I saw that and I was like, you got to have some level of sanctimony to say something like that.
That, and then we were unofficially guaranteed 4 years, and
yeah,
then going through all of that. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just, I just ready to turn the page. Let's be gone. And, you know, y'all go do what you want to do and have fun with the millions of dollars. But that, I just thought that was absolutely absurd. Anyway, War Eagle, guys.
Appreciate it, Lonnie. Good to hear from you. 334-321-1390. I will be 100% completely honest. I didn't see that. So I won't speak on it because I don't exactly know what it is.
If you haven't seen it, there's no true need to go and
find it.
Okay.
No. Well, I mean, like Lonnie said there at the end, I think for the most part, it seemed to be a pretty clean breakup right between Auburn and Hugh Freeze and the Freeze family. A lot of people, including John Cohen, were pretty highly spoken about Freeze when they hired him during his time, and then yesterday in the post or in the press conference about Freeze as a person. And I think a lot of players felt that way too. I think a lot of players didn't agree with the schemes and the schematics and things and how the program was run. But at least from the Auburn players, I haven't heard a whole lot about Freeze personally, right? And so if there is any bad blood or bad feelings, then I don't know what to tell you. I mean, it is what it is. He's not the first coach to be fired from his job, right? And yeah, kind of like Lonnie said too, again, not going super deep into this, but you aren't getting paid to not coach anymore. So there's that.
One of the few jobs in the world that is risk-free. And again, we've talked about that yes, when you get to that level, competitiveness doesn't necessarily compare from a money standpoint,
yeah.
But it's still a difficult road to have to go through or try and traverse when you're looking at the average individual.
Yeah, exactly. So it is what it is. Again, I didn't see it, so I won't speak on it. But Lonnie, we appreciate you calling in. Phone lines are open. Again, all hour number two, 334-321-1390. The text box open as well at 334-784-1067. We want to hear your picks for who the next head coach of Auburn football will be. What's your prediction? Who's your pick? Who's a dark horse? We're about to get to the phone line. Someone did text in. They said, I want DJ Durkin for continuity. All right, that's something you've talked about,
it's
Christian.
It's very much something. And then after listening to the post-game press conference, the introductory press conference of
yesterday, yeah,
him being named the interim and seeing him smile ear to ear, seeing the way that it's gone about on social media from the players, and then hearing about it today, hearing just about how the players feel and were excited about practice today. Not saying that he's my number one, you got to throw everything in the bucket to make sure that, you know, he is the head coach. But when you walk out to the players jumping around and Lil Durk is playing through the speakers, you feel like that's definitely the right way to go about him. I'll say this. You can't lose him.
No, and that was our point yesterday, and it will continue to be our point, is no matter what happens, if DJ Durkin is or is not the head coach moving forward, he cannot walk out of Auburn, Alabama. No. You cannot let that man leave this town. He cannot leave. That's, I mean, bottom line, plain and simple. So this person says, again, DJ Durkin for continuity. Their dark horse pick, Jeff Brohm. Jeff Brohm, who does have betting odds if you're into that sort of thing. He is on the list, okay? Jeff Brohm is for possible candidates for the next head coach of Auburn. If you're wondering who that is, if you're not overly familiar, he's a head coach of Louisville right now.
Yeah, he's about as tough to get as my number one option right now.
I think it's going to be really, really hard to pull Jeff Braum out of Louisville.
To pull the family man out of Louisville.
There's a lot of ties there. He played there. I believe his dad played there. His brother may have played there, too. There's a lot of ties to Louisville. And look,
That's why it's the dark horse.
There may be people that say, how dare him not leave Louisville for Auburn? But Louisville's playing pretty well. And you're in an easier conference, and you don't have to go 10-2 now. You can be, well, I guess you kind of do, but you don't have to go undefeated, right, to make it to the college football playoff. You can go 10-2 in the ACC and have a pretty good chance to make it to the playoff, especially if it expands. And if you've got family ties, man, going to be really hard. But I like that as a dark horse because I think he's a really, really good coach. 334-321-1390. We get back to the phone lines. We got Dak on the line. What's up, brother? How are you?
Hey, guys. How y'all doing today?
Good, man. Good to hear from you.
Yeah, same here. It's a beautiful day. I'm like you guys. I wouldn't be upset if DJ Durkin gets the job. This is the negative, though. I wished the AD, if he's serious contender in this job, if he's not a serious contender, then he needs to tell him now, because this is what's going to happen, guys. If he interviews for this job, and he's even mentioned being it, and he don't get it, the next coach ain't keeping him. That's a given. And that's just the way it is in football.
Yeah. And it would almost feel like after getting the promotion, you get demoted back to defensive coordinator.
Well, it's more so the coach coming in.
Sure.
The coach coming in is not going to want the guy that interviewed for the job to be on his staff.
Look at Kevin Steele,
the best defensive coordinator there is. That's why I was so upset when he applied, knowing that we wouldn't go hire a 65-year-old man. And he probably could have got the job done, but we wasn't going to hire a guy with that age. And when he interviewed, he was toast for the next. There was no way he was going to get to stay. And that's why I was so upset about that situation.
It's a good point.
So it's similar situation here. I mean, I would love it whether he was the head coach or we got somebody, you know, that would – but it would take an offensive coach getting that job even close to letting him stay. If a defensive coach comes in here as the head coach, they're not going to keep him.
I get that point. I totally do, and I agree with you. But it would be so it's so hard for me to wrap my head around, even if that's the case, for the new head coach to have such a, I don't know, is ego the right word?
You wouldn't want to butt heads with the best defensive
coordinator in the country like that. I agree with you, Dak. I totally do. It's just
a wild
thought to think that could happen because of drama and inner politics, right? And so that's why I've also brought up the idea too, Dak, is like, how much does DJ Durkin really want to be head coach? Has anybody asked him that question? Has anybody talked to DJ Durkin publicly and said, hey, like, I know you're the interim now, and you couldn't ask that before because it was inappropriate, of course, but now that he is the interim, can we ask him that question and be like, hey, do you want to be the full-time head coach, or are you cool with just being the interim for the last month of the season and then going back to being defensive coordinator?
Right. And that would simplify things for him if that was something that he'd be willing to say and do. Because I think with his experience and the situations he's been in, he probably realizes that if he interviews for that head job, that there's probably really likely not a chance of him getting to stay as defense coordinator. He probably realizes that.
And I hadn't thought about that. I really hadn't. That's a fascinating point.
And Dak, obviously you know more about that world than a lot of the people do, and you can speak on it a little bit more as well. But, I mean, for Auburn for Cohen that's going through that process, if you are looking at possibly a defensive guy, is there legitimacy in you can only accept this job if you're allowing DJ Durkin to stay?
Okay, so I'm glad you brought that up. And then you can go right back to, 2012? We had Kirby Smart offered him the job. He was going to take it, and that's exactly what we told him. And guess what he said? You can have it.
He said thanks, but no thanks.
Yep.
And so you're walking on eggshells with that. But you know.
Is today's game not more different, though? Is it not a different situation with the GM, CEO type of stuff floating around too, Dak?
I don't know. It is different. It is. And look, because I know Summerall pretty well, he doesn't have an ego. He's a very humble person. So, and look, and also you got to throw in the factor these guys might know each other.
Sure.
So that comes into play too. And I have not looked up to see if they were at Ole Miss at the same time, but they crossed paths somewhere about that same time at Ole Miss. Not for sure if John knows him on a personal level or not, or have coached with him somewhere, but that would come into play too. You know, it's all about trust, guys. It's all about people not wanting to get stabbed in the back. And if you've been in the coaching business, you know that happens.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why, you know, and you can look at the Kevin Steele situation. Do we have to bring that back up with Gus and him?
Because that got nasty. That got nasty.
Yeah. Yeah. And so people that's not in the football world that's lived it don't understand how much cutthroat and backstabbing there is. And so, you know, unless Durkin and the next guy has a relationship, the odds of him staying as defense coordinator is pretty slim. I'm not going to be upset either. I just want him to stay either way. I'm like you guys.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I hope so. I don't know if y'all listened to the show yesterday when I called in, but you know, I threw out a name out there that nobody's thought about as far as offensive coordinator is Phillip Rivers. You know, I know he doesn't have college coaching experience, but my gosh, 18 years in the NFL and the job he's done down in Mobile, turning around St. Michael's from a team that hadn't won 10 games in 10 years, and he's got them ranked number one in his second year, you know. But
he's got an offensive line there at his house, too, that he can just bring with him.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And look, it's just a matter of time before he's in the – college coaching.
Yeah, you're right about
that's a done deal.
And I'm glad you bring that up too, Dak, is this is not just a head coaching search, but I mean, it's all but an offensive coordinator coaching search. I hate to say it that way, but I mean, it's going to happen.
Absolutely. And you know, and I want to bring this up too about some of the candidates. I'm not a big Clark Lea fan, and not because of his personality or anything like that. He seems like a really great guy, and he probably is a good coach, but I always try to look at the big picture on everything. And if you look at Clark Lea, I mean, before Pavier and his coach came with him to Vanderbilt, he had won 2 games and 5 games. And so I can't help but think that this coach that came with Pavier had a lot to do with that, the turnaround.
Yeah.
And not so much Clark Lea. And so that's why I'm not I'll be very shocked if he's in the top three. I'm not going to be very happy, but who cares what I think. But I do like Summerall, and you know, there is ties here with the Missouri coach. You know,
with Drinkwitz,
that's in the administration now at Auburn. He's not coaching anymore, but he was there with him at Missouri.
Yeah.
So there's that close connection. And
There's a lot of ties, right, Dak? That's the thing about it. There's a lot of ties, and there's a lot of branches to this where you could say, well,
that's
this
right.
guy would make sense, or this guy would make sense, or these guys were together. And, hey, before we let you go, just wanted to tell you, John Summerall was at Ole Miss as the linebackers coach in 2018. Durkin was there in 2020 and 2021, so it doesn't look like they crossed paths when they were in Oxford.
Yeah, they didn't, man. So –
And, Dak, we actually had a question for you, had a phone call just asking you a question. You brought up Phillip Rivers. Spectre called in and asked about Patrick Nix, possibly as one of the OCs as
well. Who he brought up yesterday, yeah.
Yeah, that's another good point. Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, Patrick's got obviously a lot more college experience coaching than Rivers does. So, yeah, I mean, that's not out of the question, you know.
He's got a pretty good gig over there in Phoenix City now.
He does, you know, who's to say how long he's going to be there too, you know?
Wow, that's true.
He's, you know, so, but I know this, he's got a team that can win it next 3 years. And
he also knows how to find Cam Coleman the football.
Yeah.
Oh, I know. And I mean, guys, their defense, I think they start 8 sophomores on defense. this year. I mean,
they lost a ton off that team, man. They lost so much off that team.
Yeah, but they're going to be good the next 2 years, man.
Yeah, you're right.
But
You're right. Dak, we appreciate you, brother.
I know I'm taking up a lot of your time.
No, we appreciate it, man. Always good to hear from you. Dak joining us on the phone lines, one of our most informed and most intriguing callers we have, and we appreciate you, brother. All right, let's get to break because we're going to continue this conversation when we come back again. We want to hear from you. Tell us who you want as Auburn's next head football coach, whether it's legit, whether it's a long shot, whether it's a dark horse, whether there's somebody out there that nobody is talking about. We want to hear from you right now. 334-321-1390 is the phone line number, or you can shoot us a text in the on-the-line text box at 334-784-1067. We talk coaching search more after this.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin. If you want to be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067.
All right, we continue talking coaching search for Auburn football as it is on, as Auburn will be looking for a new head coach. Hugh Freeze is out, and lots and lots and lots of names are floating around out there, and there's a lot of common names, right? A lot of popular ones that continue to pop up, but we got a couple of minutes. Our bottom of the hour break will hit. We'll carry this into the next segment if need be, because we continue. We want to hear from you. Phone lines are open. 334-321-1390. Tell us who you want as Auburn's next head football coach, who the dark horse for you is, who your dream pick is. No limitations on that side of it. If you could have all the money, all the power, and all the ability to go handpick one person still, you know, living, who would it be and why? And then some of your realistic expectations and picks. 334-321-1390 to give us a call, or you could shoot us a text with some of the names at 334-784-1067. Somebody did during the break or right before we went to break. This person says in order, number one, John Sumrall. Number two, DJ Durkin. And then their dark horse, Urban Meyer, whose name pretty much pops up anytime there's a coaching search nowadays. Hasn't been around the game for a few years. He's been around it. He just hadn't been in it for a few years.
He hasn't been wearing the headset. Yeah.
Right. He's been talking about it with Fox, but, I mean, it's a dark horse for a reason.
You talk about bringing in, I mean, tell me if you've heard this before. I mean, talk about getting an offensive guy to come in, but he would be one of those guys. I think we're both in agreement. If that would be the case, that had to be more of that GM type of role.
I think so. I just think given the era that he was in the game compared to what it is now, which wasn't very long ago. Again, let's not act like Urban Meyer's been out of it for 15 years. It's only been a handful of years, but look how different it is. I think if Urban Meyer steps into this job at Auburn or any job now in P4, you don't put a play sheet in his hand. You let him recruit, be the face, and manage a college football organization. I think that's what Urban Meyer would bring to you. More phone calls when we get back and more of your text as well. Somebody jokingly said Ryan Day. I mean,
hey, you set it up for him. You said anybody.
I did. You're right. In terms of your dream pick, no limitations there. But we're reading more texts and taking more calls on the next coach for Auburn football. We want to hear from you.
We're halfway through hour number two. You've got 30 more minutes of On the Line on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
We've got 30 more minutes here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. Phone lines going crazy. Text box going crazy as well. We're excited, and we appreciate the engagement, and we're going to get to as many of you as we can as we officially on our show have opened up the coaching search conversation, yeah. Right? We held off for a day, but it's open now. It's on. And
apologies for any of the phone callers that are just ringing through. We can only answer –
So many.
Yeah. Before it just sounds like it's ringing the entire time. Yeah. I promise we
keep
see
calling.
It. So keep calling in if you're wanting to get your thoughts in again at 334-321-1390.
Yep, we're going to get to a couple of those in just a second to read a couple of texts here and react to them. Somebody says, did you know that this is the second time DJ Durkin has been an interim coach? He was the interim for Florida in 2014, which is correct.
And he won, right?
He did. He was 1-0 as the interim of the Florida Gators back in 2014 after Will Muschamp got canned. So
in between him and what, McElwain?
That would have been between Will Muschamp and Jim McElwain. Yep, DJ Durkin was the interim for a game, and he won in their bowl game, I believe. So,
and what was Mullen, 2017, 2018?
Yeah, Muschamp would have been 11-14, McElwain 15-17, and then Mullen took over at 17 to whenever he got canned. I forget when that was. Either way, 21. That's what it was. 21. So, again, that's a text in there. That person also joked about Ryan Day. Says they'd like to see DJ Durkin get a chance with a real offense. Didn't we say all we need is 24 points a game to compete? That is exactly right. And this person would like to see DJ get a shot with a real offense. Let's get to the phone lines. Got a couple of people waiting. 334-321-1390. Shane, you're on the line. What's going on, man? Shane, are you there, brother? Oh, there we go. We got bits and pieces of you. I don't know. Well, let's keep him on. Maybe it sounds like bad cell phone service there for Shane. Let's go to the second line, and we've got JD who's been holding on. JD, are you there?
What's up, guys?
What's going on, man? What's on your mind? Yes, sir.
I'm live from I-85. There's no telling when this call will drop.
Yeah, it's spotty as everything on I-85, brother.
Yeah, man. The only thing not spotty for once is the traffic in between Tuskegee and exit 50. So, here, I don't have a name for you, but I'm going to tell you I got some characteristics. I want a guy who's won, and I don't care what level he's won at, and I don't care whether he's won as a coordinator or as a head coach. I want a guy who wins, because Auburn's culture problem right now is this is not a culture that wins. Okay, I want a guy who has the stones to tell Cohen or the PWB or PTB, whatever you want to call them, he can tell them, hey, I'm not taking anybody unless I want them. I'm tired of all the holdovers from staff to staff. I don't care if it means all of them walk out the door. If he's the linchpin of what's holding our team together, I don't care. It's time to start over. It's time to stop hanging on to the Auburn guys because they played here 25 years ago and we feel loyal to them. If we don't want to have nice guys and a nice coach, we need to have somebody with the stones to say, this is my program, this is who I'm hiring. If he wants to ask Cohen, hey, who would you recommend I keep on staff? I'm open for that. But we need somebody to take this program and run it like a championship program. And we cannot do that with people with their hands in the jar, so to speak. So I don't know who that is, guys. Maybe you got one in mind. But I want somebody who's going to take Auburn's program, build a winning culture, and run it as their own. That's it, guys. I'm out. I'll be hanging up and listening.
Appreciate the call, JD. Appreciate you holding on as well. 334-321-1390. And I'm glad that he came in with that perspective where he didn't have a name, but he had qualities. And I think that that's something I know we talked about with Jacob Hillman of the Auburn Sports Network yesterday about qualities of the head coach rather than a name in particular, since it is so early, right? And since this thing just happened. But what I'll say to JD, and I know we got Shane back on the phones, and hopefully the service is better so we can get him in here and let him talk about his thoughts. But I like that from JD. Again, I was saying, Christian, the qualities, right? Maybe not necessarily a head coach in mind, but the qualities to come in and be the guy and run this thing like you want to run it. And I agree, but it has to be done the right way. Right? Auburn hired a guy like that a few years ago. 5, to be exact. 6. Whatever that was.
I don't remember any of that time.
Yeah, a lot of people have locked that out. You hired a guy that did that, but it did it the wrong way, and his career ended very quickly after that, at least as a head coach on the Plains. You see a guy in Chapel Hill right now who runs a program the way he wants to run it, and the Tar Heels are not all that good, right? It's a different era, so you have to do it the right way, but I agree that you need somebody to come in here and basically lay down the law and do what they want to do the way they want to do it, but get the results because of it. And Christian, I know you have a name that fits that narrative pretty well, a guy that's coaching in Atlanta, Georgia right now. 334-321-1390. Shane, we got you now, brother. What's going on? Yeah, still a little spotty, but let's see if we can give it a go.
All right. There's nobody out there that's going to say you do them away, and the other guys are paying your check. So that's just how it is now. They're paying everybody's checks, not yours, but all the players. And then secondly, I mean, that's good. It's good. Wish that. That's awesome if we can find that. Number two, let's talk with the Jimbo Fishers and Urban Meyers, all the has-beens. I would hate that if we get some of those guys in here.
Yeah, I've seen Jimbo pop up on some searches and some people's lists and things. I'm so against Jimbo Fisher, it's not even funny. Like
is about everybody, but it's the weird. You need the go ahead and tell us out loud that that is not a candidate before there's truly the red line that gets checked through his name.
I don't want James Franklin. I don't want anybody that's just been fired. They've just been fired. Why do we want them to do the same thing here?
Yeah.
You know, I'm with the, I like the, you know what I like? I like this weird, simple press conference of Durkin. His energy just won me over. I went back and I watched it. And if you just watch it, he's so excited.
Yeah.
He's so excited. He's going to, let's just see what happens. There's no doubt why not give him the reins and then just someone that can score a few extra points, and then somebody else is trying to get it. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
We don't need the magic old dude that's been here, you know, he's 70 years old. Let's call John Gruden in.
Yeah, that's fair. Shane, anyway, we appreciate the call, brother. Call going in and out there at the end. But to his point, he's saying don't hire somebody that's just been fired. Don't do what NBA teams do.
Yeah, just
and fire.
Make it a true carousel of it didn't work here, but let's try it with this guy instead.
Yeah, let's bounce Doc Rivers around to 7 different teams. And, oh, my God, I don't know. We just got fired from Los Angeles. Let's bring him to Milwaukee and see if it works. Well, darn, that didn't work.
Almost make it, and again, what Shane was saying, I think, is make Auburn seem like the promotion rather than the landing spot for one of these coaches that just got fired, because, man, that's what Auburn should be. We've talked about it so many times of you don't look at Auburn and use Auburn as a 3 to 4 year program to try and build up your resume to where you can go and take a better job. That's not how it should be looked at. If it is, maybe right now that is the case, but that's not how it should be. That's not how history tells us that it should be. I mean, go get one of these younger guys that feel the need to go out and perform every single day, and they feel they need to hold up their end of the bargain rather than I've coached at one of these places and now I just fall back to another good program and don't feel the need to go above and beyond what my expectations are.
I have a really interesting text that I want to read before we get to Spectre, who's holding on the phone lines, which are still open, by the way, 334-321-1390. This texter says this, probably an unpopular thought, but something to consider. At the end of the year, how many fan bases are truly happy with their college football team? This person says one, the national champion. So what I want for my entertainment dollar is to be entertained for 3 to 4 hours. Did we not have that this year if you look back on the season for Auburn? We had the ball at the end of every game just about this year with a chance to win. Would I like to win more? Sure. Did we need to fire our coach? Probably. But if there is only going to be one national champion, what is wrong with being just entertained, is what this texter says. And that is certainly a different perspective than what most people have. To the point of, only one team can truly win it all. I would say in terms of the entertainment factor, more teams have a chance now, right? Because of what's going to come out tonight, which is the college football playoff rankings. So that plays into that a little bit. But I absolutely get where they're coming from.
Very, very opposite side of the spectrum from majority of these conversations. The only thing is you feel like offense and scoring points and excitement is what brings the true entertainment, right? To where you go and you look at Arkansas, and although they are statistically one of the worst teams in college football when it comes to winning games and getting stops on defense, you're entertained when Taylen Green is on the football field.
But to push back on that, is it not, as a fan, or heck, even just in life, most people want what they don't have, right? How many times have you been a sports fan? Take Arkansas, for example. We talk with our buddy Ty in Fayetteville all the time, and it's like, man, the offense is great, but it's really frustrating when you can't get a stop. When you need a stop, you're begging, you're pleading, you're crying to get a stop, and you just can't do it. That's just as frustrating, right? And
it is. Life, it's more of just the Auburn perspective of me coming out of how many times do we sit there and say where we get the football and there's legitimate conversations of, oh, is Auburn going to go win it? It's, can Auburn get a first down on this drive? And so, yeah, very polar opposites on that side of things as well, of wanting what you don't have.
Yeah, no doubt. All right, let's get to the phone lines again. 334-321-1390. Spectre, how are you on this Tuesday, sir? You got a new name in mind out there?
Hey, you know, Dak is he's very good at what he does.
Yes.
I'm wondering what his status might be as a future analyst or a assistant on the Auburn football team.
I don't know if we could afford him.
Hey, listen, you know, talking about Durkin now.
Yeah.
It would absolutely thrill me to death if Summerall would come in here and retain Durkin. But, you know, guys, Auburn has always had good defenses, no matter who the coach was. You ever notice that?
I'd say for the most part,
we've had good defense.
Yeah.
So, you know, it may not be such a disaster if we don't retain Durkin, but I'd like to do it. But anyway, that was my thought on that.
So, Spectre, you're at the point of if you do bring in another coach and he does not decide to retain DJ Durkin, that Auburn's defense would still land on its feet and be okay.
I think so, guys. You know, like I said, we've always had a good defense, no matter who the coach was. And if the coach was a good coach like Durkin is and Kevin Steele, it just tweaks us a little bit higher up into where we get higher up in the rankings as a defense.
Yeah.
But, you know, we're like number three in the nation right now in total defense, only behind Ohio State and Indiana.
Which goes to show, Spectre, that you still, crazy enough, you still have to score to win football games, no matter how good your defense is.
I always used to hear somebody that called in always saying, you can't win a game without good defense. Well, that's true, but you can't win a game without an offense.
Yeah, our friend Terry says that all the time. It's all about offense nowadays.
That's who it was.
Yep.
That's who it was. That's who it was. Yeah, Hugh Freeze is his guy, you know.
We got caller feuds out here. Spectre, we appreciate it, man. Always good to hear from Spectre as well, and I know he means that in good fun. But when Terry does bring that up and has brought it up for years, it's correct. This is a perfect example. Defense, what was the old saying?
It's changed now because it used to be offense wins games, defense wins championships.
But look at Auburn's defense.
Yeah.
It's statistically a top three defense in the nation, like Spectre referenced, as we've all seen the graphics now. You're one of three defenses in the country that has not given up more than 24 points all year. Ohio State, Indiana, and Auburn.
The only difference is you go look at those teams' offenses as well.
Yeah, Ohio State can put up 35 at any time. They've got the third best betting odds quarterback to win the Heisman Trophy. Indiana can put up 35 points at any time. Their quarterback is second in the Heisman odds to win the trophy. And then there's Auburn, who, to this point, on a Tuesday afternoon, you still don't know who's playing quarterback this Saturday against Vanderbilt. You have no idea.
Rather than the polar opposite, even just the comparison in the SEC, if you want to compare Ole Miss.
Yeah.
You want to throw Ole Miss into that category of, if your defense got you one more stop, you're undefeated because you beat Georgia. That being said, your offense has done more to keep you in every single game and find ways to get wins.
Ohio State and Indiana are the only two teams in the country that if you put their coach in a room and stabbed him with the truth serum and said, would you trade your defense for Auburn's right now? Those are the only two teams in America that would say, nah, I'm good. Every other coach would tell you they would do it. But yet, Auburn's 4-5. Auburn is not without a head coach, and the defensive coordinator is now the interim for Auburn. That's the difference, right? Some texture, we got a couple here that says our football team was not entertaining. It was exhausting. And I think that's what more people probably feel for that. This texture says Spectre is right, but the problem is whoever comes in that isn't Durkin better be able to get the players like DJ Durkin can. And that is a great point in recruiting.
It's a very big point in recruiting because you've seen the way on social media that everybody's reacted to DJ Durkin, even so much so to where you're seeing defensive commits for Auburn still post pictures about DJ Durkin. He was FaceTiming Shedarius Tootle the night after he was named the interim head coach.
Yeah.
That goes to show you.
Former players talking about him too. Yeah. I mean, we haven't even touched the recruiting side of all of this yet.
Yes.
So that's a great point too. Okay. We got to get to our final break here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line. We're going to try and squeeze in one more phone call when we come back right after this.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin, online at ESPNAU.com and on the Radio Alabama app.
Winding down here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. Been an awesome show. It's been jam-packed. We're going to try and move quickly here. Got a couple of phone calls. Let's see if we can squeeze them in on the way out. We start with Steve. You're on the line. I got about 30 seconds for you, brother.
Hey, the other thing to consider the defense is how many more possessions they faced than those good teams. You know, our offense turning the ball over three and outs, and they're also in one possession games where, you know, the entire offensive playbook is still in the hands of the offense they're playing against. It's not like they're having to throw it every down.
Right.
And they're getting, you know, the ability to do that. I will say this. I'm a big fan of DJ Durkin, but Auburn better be sure that there's nothing in that Maryland incident that we don't know about, and that Maryland incident is what we hope it is, and there's no skeletons, because this is big boy football, and the REC and the Kirby Smarts and the other people in the world will take any little bit of information and they will trash our recruiting efforts to a place where we can't come back from. So if there's any doubt, you can't hire him.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I understand that. Hey, Steve, we appreciate you calling in and holding on through the break as well. 334-321-1390. We've got Dale on the line as well. I got about 30 seconds for you also, brother. Go for it.
All right, but I just wanted to ask a question. I was wondering if DJ Durkin's going to plan on staying here a while since he's building a new house here.
Well, I mean, I think there's some serious questions there, and I think our caller, Dak, earlier in the show brought up a good point that if he doesn't get the head coaching job, there is a concern that he could not be retained by the new head coach if that were to happen. You know what I mean?
Okay, all right, bud. I appreciate you.
Thanks for the call. Thank you for holding on as well. The hope is he stays, right? I mean, if you know, building a house or doing whatever, I mean, the hope is that he's here for a long time. But
yeah.
Dak brought up that point in hour number one, and just being honest, it's something I hadn't thought about.
No, and again, the question that I followed up with of, all right, well, what is in the contract of if we hire you, Durkin has to stay, and that would repel possibly a coach, much like that Kirby Smart question or Kirby Smart situation.
And to Steve's point, I know people have brought that up, right? Legally, DJ Durkin was cleared of all wrongdoing in that situation. Now, you can have your thoughts and opinions on it, but just from a legality, technical standpoint, he was cleared of wrongdoing in that situation. Again, you can have your opinion on how all that went down and what happened there, and it's a tragedy, no doubt. But I think for this situation, we talk with the information we know, and that's what we know from that. So,
can you tell we opened up the can today?
Yeah, I would say so. I think it's on. I think the coaching search is upon us, and we'll talk more about it tomorrow. But, hey, stick around. The drive's coming up. Their phone lines will be open, too. But we're back tomorrow, 2 to 4, right here on ESPN 106.7. Until then, he's Christian Griffin. I'm Jacob Goins. Stay safe. We'll talk to you later.